Praise the Lord. Well, perhaps for many of the newer saints, these verses that we have read, it is a little bit difficult to apprehend. But it takes time, don't worry. Go back to the messages and go back to the word and read it with prayer, with a praying spirit. The Lord will open our eyes and give us understanding, not only to know, but especially to experience such a wonderful Christ. You know, if you see, for example, Christ as our Redeemer who died on the cross, and of course, then your experience will be limited only to what you see, right? But if you see more concerning this Christ, who is our life, for example, we mentioned that in the first meeting, then you will have a desire. If Christ is your life, your desire will be to live him. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Right? Why is the Lord living in you and becoming your life? If you live your own life and ignore him, if Christ is dwelling in us, Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And for Paul to say that, it means that in your daily living, whatever you do, you have to experience this Christ to be your life. The life is not just, okay, life within me, right? And nothing else. No, life means it's active. You have a human life. And in your human life, you don't just sit there and sleep and eat and then do nothing. No, your human life is very active and very capable to do all kinds of things. Now, what about Christ as this wonderful, divine, heavenly, spiritual life indwelling us? That means that this life wants to be one with us so that we can live him and to glorify God in whatever we do. This is what it means to live Christ, because our human life is fallen. Not only it's fallen, well, it is really full of corruption, actually, sinful. And no wonder the Lord says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, carry up his cross, and follow me. We talked about to follow the Lamb wherever he goes in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. But if I have not learned to deny myself and then to follow him, then it's impossible to follow him, because we have our own concept, we have our own desire, we have our own will, and usually you do what you like to do. But once we are saved and the Lord crucified our old man and we put on Christ, we are born again and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. As in, to grow in the spiritual life is to learn to live Christ in whatever you do. Even to have our mind renewed, like Paul said in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but to be renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there are so many aspects of our being that the Lord wants to transform, to save, like what Paul said in chapter 7 right now in Hebrews, that he is able to save to the uttermost. So I think all of you can testify that although we are saved, right, this is the initial salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and then regeneration, and the Holy Spirit comes into us to dwell in us, well, that's just the initial salvation. This salvation has to grow within us to save every part of our being. Let's read, for example, just quickly jump to chapter 7, verse 25. Let's read 24 and 25. But he, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Right? He's perfect. He doesn't need to be changed anymore. He is God himself, okay? So his priesthood is unchangeable, not like the priesthood of Aaron. He changed many times, right? Therefore, it's written here, he is also able to save to the uttermost. Remember this word, save to the uttermost. Those who come to God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. To stand for them, to speak for them before God. To help us. So here we can see we need this wonderful, great high priest who is perfected. In his humanity, he is perfected to save us to the uttermost. So you can really see how important it is for us to know this wonderful Christ. Remember his salvation. And this is saving to the uttermost is a different aspect of salvation as his death on the cross. His death on the cross is redemption to save us from eternal judgment, to save us from eternal death, damnation in the lake of fire. No, once you are saved, you will not be judged by God together with the heathen world. That means you will not be damned forever. No. So the Lord paid the price, shed his precious blood. We receive the forgiveness of our sins, and we are born again. But then, although we are born again, we are like babes in Christ, just like what Paul said in verse Corinthians chapter 3, right? We are babes in Christ, or in Ephesians, right? Or in Hebrews chapter 6, end of chapter 5, right? So we really need to see this salvation through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, must grow within us. And the more it grows, the more we are being saved. Meaning to say, we are being changed, we are being transformed into his likeness. This is a different kind of salvation, right? To be saved, of course, you just believe, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in his name, you receive him as your savior, you're saved. It's not by works, it is by grace. It is the gift of God. It is given to you as a gift. You don't need to do anything, right? But then to be saved to the uttermost, this is another story. This is why Paul also said in Philippians chapter 2, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works within you to will and to do. So that means now, this salvation that we are talking about needs our cooperation, because God will not force you. You have the free will. And this salvation, we need this wonderful, great heavenly high priest to help us. Remember, going back to chapter 2 of Hebrews, right? I hope that you all have listened to the first 6 chapters in the conference. Have you? Amen? No, probably not everybody, right? because that's a conference for South Korea at that time. So perhaps not everybody had a chance to listen to it, but it's very important because the Lord has gone through the human life on this earth. And he was perfected. He went through all kinds of sufferings and all kinds of trials, right? He overcame Satan, overcame temptation, overcame religion, overcame all kinds of difficulties, and finally went to the cross. So he went through all the human problems so that he can understand us and help us. So this is what chapter 2 tells us. Right? And then, especially as the great heavenly high priest, he is helping us concerning things pertaining to God. For the fulfillment of God's plan and God's purpose with mankind. God has a plan. You better believe that, right? You have a plan too, right? As a human being. Everybody has a plan. Some wants to be a doctor. Some wants to be an engineer. Some wants to be a, I don't know what, right? You all have a plan. You think God doesn't have one. Surely God has a great plan, a glorious plan for us. Right? We are his people and we are his children. So the Lord has a great plan for us. And so this wonderful great heavenly high priest, who is both the king and a priest, and he made it all the way to the throne above. He made it. That's why in chapter 2, it talks about God's plan with man, but man failed because we were deceived by Satan and sin entered into man, into mankind, into the flesh in Romans chapter 7. So we became blinded and corrupted. That's why we need salvation. Right? Then the Lord even accomplished that wonderful plan for us. Remember chapter 2 of Hebrews, we see Jesus crowned with honor and glory, sitting on the throne today. Right? And he entered into the highest point in the universe, right, for us. So we see Jesus not just as a savior, but whatever he accomplished. And today, sitting there in glory, it is for our sake. Whatever he has accomplished is for you, for me, for all of his people. Maybe for some of the saints who didn't realize this, let's go back. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2 about that. Right? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2 to refresh your memory. For earthly things, we have good memories, but I don't know, for some reason, concerning the word of God, we don't have a very good memory. Okay, in chapter 2, it is a quotation from Psalm 8. But one testified in a certain place, that was King David, in Psalm 8, saying, what is man? What is man? What is the purpose? Why did God create man? That you are mindful, God is mindful of you, you know? Although we are fallen, but he still cared for us. He is mindful for you, for man, for mankind. Or the son of man, we're all son of man, that you take care of him. You have made him a little lower than the angels. Actually, the word angels here should be Elohim in Hebrews. That means a little lower than God. Because we were created in the image and the likeness of God. Remember that. The angels were only spirit, but we, the human beings, were created in a very special way in the image and likeness of God. That's why you're so intelligent. That's why you're capable of doing so many things, right? If you are a little puppy or a German shepherd or whatever, you don't have much capacity, right? But mankind is created in God's image to have dominion, to rule over God's whole creation. In Genesis chapter 1, it's very clearly stated, right? And you have crowned him. That means God is going to crown us human beings with glory and honor. And you set man over the works of your hands. That means man is supposed to rule over the whole universe, over all of God's creation. This is your destiny. But unfortunately, human being became fallen, and look at the big mess today. Man cannot rule, although he was made to rule. But who else is going to rule on this earth? Not the monkeys, not the cats and the dogs. It'll be even worse if gorilla rules, right? So man is the only creation of God that can rule. But because man became fallen, it is just amazing. Look at the world wars. The history of mankind is a history of sin, unrighteousness, killing. Right. Every empire, you can see there's just world wars, etc. Right? So it says here, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. This is man's destiny. For in that he put all in subjection under him, which is true. You see that today. Nothing is in subjection to your cat, right? Or to your dogs, your pet at home, or to your little birds, whatever, right? But everything is in subjection to mankind, to human beings. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see yet all things put under him, because Adam fell, deceived by Satan. Sin entered and death. The whole world became a big mess. Look at now, everywhere, worldwide, globalists. There's a globalism. It's global, right? Even now man can create so many things that is a mass destruction for mass destruction. Look at this present day virus, COVID-19, and then pretty soon it's going to be Delta variant. This is all created by man, man-made. Right. Terrible, right? Man cannot rule today. No, only the elite is ruling. And my goodness, you know, what qualification do they have to rule over you and over anybody? It's a big mess. But in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower because of his incarnation as a man, not than the angels now, but a little bit lower than God, than Elohim, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor today, right? That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Praise the Lord, he did. He, the one who knew no sin, he was made sin for us and died on the cross. God put all of our sins upon him. He's the unique sin offering. That's why in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. A wonderful savior of mankind. He loves us. That's why he died for us. He paid the ransom to save us. So here you can see, we see Jesus. Don't look at yourself. You see Jesus. For the suffering of death, he tastes death for everyone. But now he was crowned with honor and glory. And now he became the captain of our salvation, verse 10. It was fitting. That means it was God's plan for him. Him here refers to God, not to Christ. It was fitting, meaning to say it was God's perfect plan. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through sufferings. This is God's plan. This is why you need to appreciate what God, through Jesus Christ, has done for us. So let me just continue, right? And now, of course, you can read it yourself, but just to refresh us so that we can go back to chapter 7 and verse 14. Inasmuch then as we, the children of God now, have partaken of flesh and blood, we're just flesh and blood, okay? He himself likewise shared in the same. He became a man, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Praise God. Maybe some of you have not read this verse, right? You think only on the cross Christ died for our sins. No, he accomplished more than just dying for our sins. And one of the great things that he accomplished is he destroyed Satan, him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Can you imagine that? Why? Because sin, which is a personification of the devil, entered into us. So when Christ became a man and joined the humanity and he went to the cross, he brought the whole humanity into the cross, and Satan was trapped here in mankind. He thought he was so wise, he injected himself into mankind. And so the Lord became a man, and yet without sin. And then he brought the whole mankind to the cross, including sin in man, and destroyed Satan. Yeah. And so today, that little Satan, he doesn't have any power over you and me and over anybody. No, he doesn't. He's lying to you, saying he has power, but I call him the little worm there. He's, I don't know if he's a serpent or not, but if he is, he's only 3 inches long, okay? he is nothing. The Lord has already disarmed him. He has no power. This is why this verse in chapter 2, verse 14 is very important for all of us as God's children to know. Right, that he already destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And if you have to join this verse to Revelation chapter 1, the Lord says, hey, I was dead because he died on the cross, but behold, I'm alive again. He rose again in the third day. And then he says, I'm alive forevermore. And he says, he hold the keys. The key, today the key is like this, okay? Everything is the key of Hades and of death. That means now he controls Hades and of death, not Satan. Satan has no more power, right? Especially over us Christians, he has no more power. So, are you afraid of him? Benson, are you afraid of a toothless little snake? He has no more fangs and no more poison. Even he bites you, so what? Just like a mosquito bite. He has no power. This is what the truth is. And now he is giving aid, help to us. For indeed, verse 16, he does not give help to the angels. The angels doesn't need his help. And he is not here to save the fallen angels. Definitely not. He is preparing the fire and the lake of fire there to throw them into the lake of fire. But he does give help to the seed of Abraham. Is a wonderful name, because Abraham is our father of faith. We are all of the seed of Abraham. Remember in chapter 7, right? Therefore, in all things, verse 17, he had to be made like his brethren, like you and me. And as a man, like you and me, he overcame Satan. He overcame religion. He overcame all the attacks. And he overcame all the difficulties and problems of mankind. It's really wonderful, in order to help us. Because if he has not gone through as a human being, as a man, all of these challenges of the power of darkness, and came out as a conqueror without sin, and he's a victor, how can he help you and me? It's not possible. As a man, praise the Lord. And this is why this great heavenly high priest is not only God, but God becoming a man, going through all of these challenges and every difficulties and problems of human being. Now is this great heavenly high priest able to help and save to the uttermost. There's no problem that he cannot solve. No weakness of mankind that he does not understand, that he cannot have compassion with, because he became a man. This is so great, so wonderful. Now, it says more than that, just giving us help more than that, right, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, this is the phrase that I want you all to remember. Not just to help us in things pertaining to man and man's weaknesses and problems and temptations and all the challenges and, yeah, whatever our problem is, the Lord has gone through and he understands. That's why he can be merciful to you. We are very unmerciful. We don't understand. We don't understand one another. If somebody has problem, we already say, why do you have so much problem? Why did you do it again? And how comes this? How comes that? And we have no understanding. Nobody has sympathy with anybody. But the Lord, because he went through, he can sympathize with you. Can you imagine that? Because he went through as a man like you and me. Right? But this is just things pertaining to mankind, to human beings. But now he's going to help us in things pertaining to God as a great heavenly high priest. He's not just faithful to you, but he's faithful to God to accomplish God's plan and purpose as in the priesthood. Yeah. He's the only one that can truly help us. Although I can share with you what the word says, but really to help you in your daily living, in the church life, wherever you are, how can I help you in Singapore? right? Brother and sister, oh, Jemima, I'm not even there. But you know, the great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, is there, and he's even living in you. How about that? How come we still depend on men and pastors and elders and all these hierarchies there? They cannot really help you. But this great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, he is the only one that is perfected. He is perfect. That is why it says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, because we, the fallen human beings, are weak and going through all kinds of suffering, and then we give up, right? We surrender to whom? Not to God. We surrender to the enemy. So this, in verse 18, yeah, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted by the enemy in his whole life as a man, as a human being, he is able to help those who also are being tempted. He can help us. So this is one of the reasons why he has to become a man, not just to die on the cross for our salvation, but to experience all the sufferings and problems and temptation and challenges of mankind in order to help us. Isn't that wonderful? I cannot help you because I'm going through the same sufferings and failures. And you cannot help me because you're also a failure. Right? Who's not a failure there? There's so many in the screen right now. Are you victorious? No? I see Kim there. Are you victorious, Kim? So how can you help me to be victorious? If I come to you and says, Kim, help me to be victorious, how are you going to help me? She shook her head. Now, if you come to me to help, I will also shake my head. No, I cannot help you. But I can refer you to somebody who can. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. We need to experience this great heavenly high priest because he is the only one who is qualified to help us. And this is salvation, a different aspect of salvation as his death on the cross. Because this salvation requires our cooperation now. And that we can see in Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. All right. Sorry, I had to go back to chapter 2. I think it is necessary concerning the Word of God. We have to make a lot of repetition just to listen it to. Once, I don't think we can get it. We have to listen to it many times, many times. Right? Just like eating every day. You cannot just eat once a day. Is it enough for you? Once a day for the whole week? Just once a week? No, you need to eat at least three times a day. Okay. Now let's go back to chapter 7. It is definitely necessary. After knowing this background, now he is going into more details, right, to show us how great is this wonderful high priest. 中文是说大祭司, high priest. 但是英文在这里不只是说 high priest is a great high priest, 是伟大的大祭司。Right? It's a great heavenly high priest. You only need to realize that he's not only high priest, he's a great high priest. How great? I cannot describe to you how great he is. He is so great. He's just great, okay? He is great. Right, a victorious, wonderful high priest. Right. Now, he's telling us here in chapter 7, starting in verse 11. Okay, I cannot go through every point. If I do that, we won't be able to finish. Right, we won't be able to finish. But read it yourself. I think the Lord will give you wisdom and understanding, not just to know, but we want to understand so that we can experience it. If you don't understand, you cannot experience. Just like a computer, if somebody gives you a computer and you don't understand, then you cannot use it. And if you just understand a little bit, you cannot utilize all the technology to the max. Just like me, I'm illiterate. I'm a computer illiterate, right? Not like the young people today. My goodness, they're expert, right? Even my grandson, he knows more computer than I do, right? So, but if I don't understand, then I have no way to experience it. I have no way to apply it. The word of God is not just for you to know, it's for you to apply, to experience. If you don't know the Lord as this great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and don't forget the word Melchizedek, then how are you going to experience him? You tell me. In what aspect of your spiritual life are you going to experience this Melchizedek? That's why we are not very righteous, because we don't know the King of righteousness. And we don't have peace. We're fighting against one another. My goodness, many of us are Christians for so many decades, not just weeks and years, but decades. Like, we're still fighting. And there's still no peace amongst us. We can still, we're still not one. We still disagree. My goodness. When I think about that, I said, Lord, what's going on, right? Hey, it's because we don't know this great high priest, this Melchizedek, King of peace, King of righteousness, who has gone through all the problems and perfected through sufferings, right? So here, now, there's another point for us to appreciate why there is a change of the priesthood. And Paul, in this wonderful epistle, showed us there has to be a change of a priesthood from just the ordinary man being a priest like Aaron. Aaron is, of course, not without sin. He is sinful, just like you and me, right? This is what Paul is saying, right? Aaron is just a man. That's why he has to give a sin offering firstly for himself and then for the others, because he's just a sinner, just like the rest. And he's telling us that the animal offerings cannot wash away sins. The blood of the animals cannot cleanse us from all our sins. It's not possible. But he's saying that to prove to you why the Lord has to be a priest in a higher, different order of Melchizedek. So you should understand the writer's, not argument, but presentation of why there is a need of a higher order of the priesthood. And this is where he compared the priesthood of Aaron to the priesthood of Melchizedek. Okay, Remember this, then you will appreciate why the Lord has to be made such a priesthood, right? So here it says here, for if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not to be called according to the order of Aaron? That means, and this is a very important principle that you need to apply. Can a sinful man like you and me help another person not to be sinful? You tell me. Can a weak man like me help another weak man to be strong? It will be a joke. Right? Now, if you apply it to spiritual things, can a weak pastor who himself did not do what he preaches others to do, can he help you? You tell me. He may know the Bible, he may graduate from a theological seminary or whatever, but he cannot help anybody because he is just a man not living Christ. There are not too many Christians and brothers and sisters or even pastors or elders who live Christ. He can just give you a message. He cannot give life because he doesn't have it. Look at the elders of the churches. This is what the churches everywhere today are in shambles. Just like Aaron. Yes, he's a priest, but he couldn't help people. Perfection didn't come through Levitical priesthood because they are not perfect. They're sinful. That is why Christ has to come. And that is why he has to bring in a higher level of priesthood. A perfect priesthood. This is too wonderful. I'm sorry. I'm too limited to really explain to you, right? I'm really limited. Because Hebrews is telling us to bring us to perfection, to bring all of us to perfection. Remember at the end of chapter 6, right? We have to leave the elementary principles of the Word of God and go on to perfection. But who can bring us to perfection? Can a man who is not perfect bring you to perfection? Not possible. Not possible. That is why we have a wonderful, great heavenly high priest. He made it there. He made it. And he is there sitting on a throne today. And as our great heavenly high priest, and as our great heavenly high priest, his job is to save us all to the uttermost, to perfect the priesthood, to make us like him, to make us kings and priests. Now, you tell me, can your pastor make you a king and a priest? Your pastor didn't even know that he's a priest. Ask him, are you a priest? He says, no, I'm a pastor. Okay. Sorry. I'm not looking down on pastors or elders, just like I'm not looking down on Aaron, but this is the reality. To speak the reality doesn't mean that we are looking down. if I look down on any of them, I'm looking down on myself as a brother sharing the word with you. In the last 50, 60 years, I've seen that. I've never seen a church without problems. It's because we don't know this great heavenly high priest, that we don't turn to him. And we, as the saints in the church, we are just listening to men. We're depending on men. Why are we depending on men and not to him? Irene, you tell me. Why are we afraid of man? This is why.
Brother John, because we lack of knowing him being our great high priest.
That's right. That's right. But isn't that sad, having such a great heavenly high priest and we ignore him? That is really sad. Yeah. So, but let us hope that from now on we will change. The priesthood needs a great high priest. And who is this great high priest? Just like in the Old Testament days, the priesthood need a great high priest. Right? And the great high priest must be very special. And just like what Malachi tells us in chapter 2, right? He's a messenger of the Lord. The word of truth, the truth of the law must be in his mouth. No injustice must be found in his lips. And he must be walking with God in peace and uprightness. And he must turn many away from iniquity, right? And the knowledge of God must be, and the law must be found in his mouth. And people must come to him to learn the knowledge of the Lord. And then he is a messenger of God. And he must be holy, righteous. So we need to know, we need this great heavenly high priest. Yeah, so, and then verse 12, for a priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. This is why now there's a big change from the old covenant to the new covenant. Before, the law is just the letter, the written law of the letter. Now it is the law of life. Right? So it is grace and it is life. Right? And then it says, for he of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, the tribe of Judah, which was mentioned in the first meeting. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Because now it is a different level of priesthood. Right. You know, if Paul didn't write all of this here, we would not have understood. We would not have really understood the need of this wonderful order of Melchizedek, this priesthood. But you need to apply it. This is why, dear brothers and sisters, we all need to first of all put our trust in this wonderful great high priest and not to man. Although we need fellowship one with another, I'm not saying that we don't need fellowship. I'm not saying that we don't need brothers who are older, but elders must be examples, not just teachers. What is the use of a teacher if the example is exact opposite of what he taught or what he's teaching. So here we all need to focus on this heavenly great high priest. Yeah. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. But actually, he is that wonderful Melchizedek. And now in verse 16, it is even more important to put this in your mind and in your heart, that this wonderful Melchizedek, this priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, not just written commandment, just like the laws in the Philippines, it's written, but nobody did it. Nobody follows it. There's traffic laws, but nobody followed the traffic laws. It didn't work. Okay? Why it didn't work? Because of the fallen life. So now, this great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, is helping us not by teaching, not by giving us just the law, what it is written in the Bible, and then we go home, okay, I understand. No, that doesn't work. You have been doing that for ages. How come you still continue to do the same way? Right. But according to the power of an indestructible, endless life, the word endless means it is indestructible. Yeah, we have it written right here, right in the outline. Do we have it in the outline? Yeah. Lord Jesus, right? Yeah, B, outline 2B. He's made a priest according to the power of an endless, indestructible, indissoluble life. That means this life can never be defeated. It will not end. It will not stop. It won't get tired. It will not take vacation like you and me. We have to take vacation, right? Go cruising. Then after you come back from cruising, you're just more tired. You become more tired than before the cruise, right? This is an indestructible life. Unstoppable. Nothing can stop this life. It went through death, came out in resurrection. Now the Lord is alive forevermore. Who can stop him? He overcame all the enemies. He cannot be dissolved. He will make you and me, like Romans chapter 8 says, more than conquerors. You believe that? Where's Charlie? Ah, I don't see Charlie. Oh, yeah, Charlie is right there. You believe that, Charlie? Now, you tell me, Charlie, who else can serve with such a life? Who can impart to you and me through his priestly service with such an indestructible life? Can you do it? Who can? Who can? Maybe Anna can do it. No? Anna, can you do it, Anna?
Oh, no.
Or maybe George Chua can do it. Hi, George, can you do it? Every time you minister to the saints, you share a lot. Do you have a desire, Lord? I want to impart to the saints this indestructible, endless, indissoluble life to the brothers and sisters. Do you have this desire to do it? or you desire or you plan, or I mean your ministry is just to make people understand the Bible. 讲解圣经。 分享信息，给弟兄姊妹们的一些知识，是不是？广州的弟兄姊妹们呢？我们是不是这样的知识啊？ Do we have this kind of a ministry to minister this indestructible life that went through death, conquered everything, and came out in resurrection, the power? No wonder Paul desires to know the power of his resurrection, an indestructible life. You cannot hold our Lord Jesus Christ in the grave, no. On the third day he rose. This is the ministry of this wonderful, great, heavenly high priest. And I hope that those who are in Germany, who are listening to these messages, you need to see this. And you can only do this if you know this great heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. If not, we are powerless. We are powerless. Doesn't work. No power. That means no life. No life. Dead. Yeah, we only tell people, okay, what the Bible says, that's it. We cannot impart this power. The Lord says, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And people notice when Jesus was on this earth, when the Lord Jesus spoke, power came out of him. The authority of God came out of him. Unlike the scribe and the Pharisees, they notice the difference. Right. So we need to really see, right, this great heavenly high priest, different than Aaronic. Not ironic, but ironic, ironic priesthood. Ah, Lord Jesus, there is a lot to talk about. No wonder Paul says, there's a lot to talk about, but we cannot possibly cover every point, right? But we need to see this, apply this. You need to apply this in our church life today, in the priesthood. In the priesthood, we need to know this great heavenly high priest. From now on, you should pray in your prayer when you pray to the Lord, not just say, Lord Jesus, but Lord, our great heavenly high priest, open my eyes, give me understanding. I'd like to know you, not just only as my savior in my life, but I want to know you as the great heavenly high priest according to Melchizedek for the sake of the priesthood. Teach us and to perfect us just as you were perfected when you live on this earth. Otherwise, you'll be serving. After a certain time, you will give up. You'll be stumbled just because of a problem, of a difficulty, of a challenge. Then you say, okay, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. You'll disappear. You will disappear. I have seen that so many times, okay? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. It's because we don't know him. Can you imagine the Lord quit because of a problem? Can you imagine the Lord quit because he failed? He didn't fail. Right? Or when he was challenged, he said, it's too hard. Forget it. Forget it. I'm leaving. I'm going back to heaven. No. No, he didn't. He's not a quitter. Praise God. And if you know him, you will not quit. Okay? You will keep on going. Yeah, amen. Then he says here, yeah, where are we now? In verse 16, right? Then in verse 17, now he went back to Psalm 110, for he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever. So you better stay a priest forever, okay? Don't quit. Even if it is difficult, hard to learn, even if we are very slow, it doesn't matter. Just don't quit. You have to be a priest forever, right? That's why in the Revelation chapter 22, right? And his servant is the priest, will serve him as a priest, because the word service there in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, I think, right? That word service in the Greek is a priestly service. Yeah, right. Not a service of a servant, but a service of a priest. Right. So, for the law, the written law, made nothing perfect, right? So if you just know the Bible according to black and white, will it make you perfect? Let me ask Jenny. Jenny, because you're right there. How long have you been reading the Bible? Thirty some years. Wow, you should be already perfect. No, right? No, because it is just the written word. Even though it's the truth, even though the word of God is good, but we need the power, we need the spirit of life, not the written law. Because many of us Christians believe, okay, I read the Bible, then close it. Yeah, I read the Bible. That's my duty, right, as a Christian. But it's not reading the Bible. It's not the knowledge of the Bible. It is the power. And this power is the one that works within you. And of course, we need the word. I'm not saying we don't need the word, but the word without the power, Paul says, it becomes just a written letter, right? It will even kill you, so to speak. It will condemn you because you know it, but you don't do it. Yeah. So the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope. Praise the Lord, a new covenant. Right. Full of grace, full of supply of life, and with such a wonderful great high priest helping us, bringing in a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, it is drawing us to God. Praise the Lord. You need to come to him. That's why later on in chapter 10, it says, come boldly into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And you need to spend time there as a priest. And this is really, brothers and sisters, the wonderful privilege of being a priest, the priesthood, is you can draw near, go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And if you spend time in the presence of this wonderful God, you will be like Moses, spending 40 days and 40 nights on the top of the mountain there with God. What happened, Charlie, when he came back down? He was shining. His face was shining, right? Are you and I shining? What happened when he comes home from work? Yeah. Oh, we're all so tired and we're not shining. Right. So we need to see this, a much better hope. And also in verse 20, inasmuch as he was not made a priest without an oath. Wow. Even God made him a priest with an oath. He swore in his own name, God swore, you are a priest forever. So that means there won't be any change made there. Right? Wonderful. A priest forever. Right? You want to be a priest forever? You think you need a priest, or you don't need a high priest anymore when you are in new heaven and new earth? Do you still need a great heavenly high priest in new heaven and new earth in heavenly Jerusalem? George? You better give me a good answer. If he is a priest forever.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And if he is a priest forever, how about you?
Also.
Wow. You got the revelation. So when are you going to start?
Now.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me. For helping me. So in Clarín, no quitting, okay? No quitting, even though you have persecution there, even people are against you and people are laughing at you as if they want to practice the priesthood and are saying so many things. Are you going to quit? That's right. Don't quit. Tell them we're going to be a priest forever. And if they ask you why, well, because our great heavenly high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, is also a priest forever. Isn't that a good answer for everybody? So, dear saints, don't just read the Bible without touching the reality, without the proper application. Yeah. Now, then Paul compared this priesthood with them. What time do I have? Until when?
Until three.
Huh?
Another 30 minutes. That's another 30 minutes.
Minutes.
30 minutes more.
30 minutes, okay. Good, yeah, I have 30 minutes more. Are you already tired? Tired of
no.
hearing or not?
Maybe no, I'm ready.
If you're tired, let me know. I quit right away, okay?
No, it is an endless meeting.
Sorry?
It's not only an endless life, but that's also an endless meeting.
Okay. Listen, I'm not Melchizedek, so there is an end. Oh boy. Okay. It says, for they, the priest, Aaron and his sons, they are the priests there during the olden days. For they have become priests without an oath. Now, even an oath is not possible because people have a short life, right? Aaron cannot be a priest forever because he's going to pass away, right? But he, the Lord Jesus, as this wonderful great high priest, with an oath by him, by God, who said to him, The Lord has sworn and will not relent. He will never repent of what he said concerning the priesthood of Melchizedek. He will never relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know the word forever implies what? Implies that he is perfect. And our Lord will never change. Yeah. And he doesn't need any change because he is perfect. You and I need a lot of change, right? Who doesn't need change? Alec, you need change? But I see a lot of people who don't like to change. And who don't change year after year, they are the same. And if there is any change, it is not a change to the better, it's a change to the worse. So, by so much more, Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant, is a surety, a pledge. Wow, it must be a wonderful guarantee. You know, many of the company who gives you a guarantee, they says, oh, for lifetime guarantee, but the company close shop. If the guarantor closed shop, then the guarantee, the warranty is useless. Right? If the guarantor died, then you have no guarantor anymore, no guarantee. It's over. Now, this is wonderful. Christ is the guarantor. He is a guarantee of the new covenant. Whatever he promised, he guarantees you are going to make it. One way or another, you are going to make it. That means if a person is saved, he cannot be unsaved. Just this word will tell those people who believe in the yo-yo salvation, you know, yo-yo, up and down. Today you're saved, tomorrow you're lost. And then you're saved again and you're lost again. No, there's no guarantee. The yo-yo has no guarantee, okay? But here it is a wonderful guarantee. Once you are saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and you are sealed with a warranty, with a surety. Right? This is a very wonderful guarantee of your salvation. You will not lose it again. It is yours forever. He is a surety, a pledge, a guarantee of a better covenant, right? We have that in the outline. He became a surety, a pledge, a guarantee of a better covenant, better than the old covenant. In the old covenant, there is no guarantee. It depends on whether you follow the law or not. And you have to follow it every day. If you follow it once a week, you're finished, okay? You'll be locked up. And there will be a lockdown. No guarantee. And that's why the old covenant didn't work. But the old covenant has a very special function. It is to preserve God's people, right? Not to be lawless, although they are lawless people, but the law keeps them like a fence around God's people. So here, this is a much better guarantee and a better covenant. Praise the Lord. Everything is better with this great heavenly high priest. And also in verse 23, there are many priests at that time, because they were prevented by death from continuing. So can you imagine if there are only two or three priests and they all died, then who's going to continue with the priesthood, right? So there is a continuity, the continuity. But now Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. This is a problem with any kind of office that doesn't continue. If you have a good CEO right now in a company and he passed away, and the next CEO is not as good as he is, the company goes down. And all of your stock will become zero. It'll all be gone and disappeared because the CEO changes. Depends on the CEO, what he sees and what he owes. Right. So you can really see that's why the old covenant, the priesthood is up and down. And I told you already at the time of Eli, it is really down. Okay. It is really down. So, but now we have an unchangeable priesthood. It's always steady. It is always great. It is always victorious. It is not waving, right? It is not up and down, but it is very constant. It is very constant. Our Lord is really very constant. Yeah, it is really wonderful. He never changed. You change your mind all the time, right? In the morning, you say, okay, I'm going to do this. In the evening, you say, oh, I forgot. Or you said, I changed my mind. You're changing all the time, right? You change job how many times now, right? You're changing all the time. And aren't you changing? Your mood changes. Don't you? You're happy in the morning. Okay, you're tired in the afternoon. In the evening, you're mad. You're angry. You're changing all the time. Can you imagine if the Lord, as the great heavenly high priest, change all the time? Today he likes you and tomorrow he says, no, I changed my mind, sorry. I'm going to throw you into the lake of fire. It is not good, right? It is definitely not good. But our Lord will never do that because he never changed. It's just really going on perfectly. Remember what Malachi chapter 3 says? What in Malachi chapter 3 says? You're not destroyed. The reason why God did not destroy Judah and the priests, why? What did he say? Oh, come on. You just read through Malachi. It's because I, God, I do not change. I remain the same forever. That's why I didn't destroy you. Because his calling is irrevocable. It does not change. You change. I change. Many of us, all of us change. But this wonderful, great heavenly high priest, our God, he never changed. Yeah. And he will never lie. This is wonderful, right? He's very, very reliable. Nothing is reliable on this earth today. Nothing, nothing. Believe me, nothing. Therefore, and now we go to 25 and 26, and then we will end the meeting. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right? You may fail many times, but he is there always to help you. We can always repent to the Lord, to come back to God. to come to God through him. He can change us. I can testify that. Yeah. All my hairs are now white. I'm not as young anymore as some of you, or many of you, right? But I can testify the Lord has done a wonderful job of changing me, not overnight, but over close to, how many decades now? Close to 8 decades. I really praise God, and I need more changes. I'm not perfected yet, but praise God. The Lord has to change all of us. And I think many of you have the same experience. I know some of the saints here. I can see changes in many of the dear saints. But of course, I also see some saints that don't change, okay? But he is able to save to the uttermost. And you and I need to be such testimonies of the way he changed us and saving us to the uttermost. People have to see, your wife has to see the change in you, all the husbands. And all the husbands have to see the changes in the wives. And all the children, they also have to see the changes in the parents. And the parents need to see the changes in the children. Can you imagine if your children don't change? And this is a problem in Hebrews chapter 6. They didn't change, they remained babes. That's the problem. But now, the solution is we have a high priest who can save you and me and all of us to the uttermost. Why don't you change? Not by yourself. We have such a great high priest, able to change us to the uttermost. Don't you want to be changed? Tell me. I see. Su Yun. Yeah, Sister Su Yun. 是不是需要改变啊? 我们都需要改变嘛, 对不对? Why not? You like to remain the way you are, Charlie? Right. We all need to change. And to be saved to the uttermost, you must understand the process of transformation. You change. If you take a look at your picture when you're 2 years old or 5 years old and compare it to what you are now, you change a lot, right? If I see your picture when you were 25 years old, I say, well, is that you? I will tell you, Charlie, you changed a lot. But that's only outward physical change. But what about our spiritual change? To be more like him. We have a goal. Our change is not without a goal. Our change is to be changed into his likeness, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. We have a very clear concept of how we like to become. It's not a random change. Yeah, it's not the change the way you like yourself to be. No, we like to be changed to be like him. To put away the old man and to put on the new man who is being renewed day by day into the image of him who created him. To be saved to the uttermost is to be transformed into his likeness. And you can even notice in yourself if you really changed or if you don't change. You will know. Right. If you don't know, then nobody else will know. Yeah. Right. So Paul even told Timothy, let your progress be visible to everybody. Yeah. This is a real testimony. Yeah. I hope that we will all learn and desire to be saved to the uttermost. Yeah. Those who come to God through him, every day you need to come to him. Right. Since he always lives to make intercession for them, that means the Lord is always standing with you and praying for you. And we also must pray for one another. Don't forget to pray for the saints. Right. Our prayer for the saints should be according to God's plan and God's purpose. Remember to pray for all the brothers and sisters. Not just to fellowship and talk to one another, but to pray for one another. Wherever you are, in China, Guangzhou, in Suzhou, wherever, in Korea, pray for one another. The Lord is always interceding for us, standing for us, pleading for us before the Father. Yeah. Right. And then he described to us what kind of a high priest he is. And if you really want to be conformed to his image, now you need to have a little bit of knowledge of how he looks like, okay? For this high priest, such a wonderful high priest, was just right, fitting for us. The word fitting here also means just right. He was made exactly to meet our need, okay? Right, he was fitting, just like a glove. You know what a glove is. It's very fitting for your hands, right? If you have a glove that only have three fingers, that's not fitting, okay? Or if you have a glove with five fingers and you only have two fingers, it's also not fitting, right? It's really made just right for you and me. Just right for you and me. Okay, it says who is holy. Praise the Lord. Number one is holy. This is the first and foremost point. Believe me, this is important. Just like what Ephesians chapter 1 says, right? God has chosen us even before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Because God is holy. And God desires us to be like him. That is why in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, without holiness, no one can see God. So the first point here concerning this wonderful great high priest is that he is holy. Number one, the meaning of holy is to be separated. This is the first meaning of sanctification, okay? Is to be separated. Right. And number two, which is an intrinsic meaning, which has something to do with the inner nature. It is innate within us to have to be a partaker of his divine nature, which is the very nature of God is holiness. The nature of Satan is defilement, evil, sinful. That was his nature. Right? But our God is holy. Our God is holy. So we need to pursue holiness. Even Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Because if you are not holy, one day when he comes, there's judgment. Right. So to get rid of all the defilement, this is why it says holy and harmless. Harmless. Are you harmless? Yeah. Do you do harm to others? What does it mean to be harmless? Right. That means you're very considerate of others. You will never do anything that will cause problems or any kind of a problem to others, especially to the brothers and sisters. Don't be a stumbling block to them. Do not hurt them, their inward feelings. Right? The Lord, when he was on this earth, he was harmless. Did he do any harm to anybody? Did he do anything to take advantage of other people? Did he ever say anything that will, put down people? No. In his relationship to other people, he was totally harmless. He never thought evil of other people. No. He never wished any harm or to other people. He never caused any loss to other people. He would rather suffer loss himself and not cause others to suffer loss. He would rather bear the sin of other people. He would rather be poor and make others rich. But he will never cause others to suffer, right? So that he can have some gain for himself. No. Harmless. The Lord is harmless. And this should be our relationship to one another. If we have such a wonderful great high priest who bore all of our sins upon his own body to die on the cross for us, who suffered for our sake that we might be saved, why don't we do that for one another? The Lord is harmless, undefiled. Well, you all know the meaning, undefiled. Separated from sinners. What does it mean, separated from sinners? It doesn't mean that you don't talk with anybody anymore who is a sinner. Then at the end, you'll end up talking to nobody. Just like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I told you not to have fellowship with the adulterer and drunkards and covetous people and all of these people. He says, not altogether with the sinners in the world. Otherwise, you would have to move to outer space. You would have to move to the moon. No, he says, but to a brother who is committing such sins. And it's not so that he can be thrown out, but so that he can have a chance to repent, actually. To feel ashamed that what he did is wrong, right? But, so, to be separated from sinners, meaning to say that you do not partake of what they are doing. Right? Otherwise, you have to move out of Quezon City, but where are you going to move to? Metro Manila is worse, okay? Where are you going to move to? Right. Don't move to California, no, it's worse, okay? Where are you going to move to? No, we don't need to move anywhere, but we are not partakers of what they are doing. Separate yourself from what they are doing. Be wise. You have to have discernment. You have to have discernment, because if you're not, if you come too near you're not separating yourself, you'll be infected. That's why they want you to make social distancing. 6 feet. I'm not sure that works, but you know, that, but a principle works. Right. If you come close to people who are with black paint, it is very likely that a paint will come to your body and to your shirt. You will turn not wholly black, but spots of black will be on your shirts. If you are too close, don't think you are invulnerable. None of us are invulnerable. We are all very vulnerable. Like, don't think if you watch so many things, you're watching everything, that you will not be tainted by what you watch or what you hear. And you will not be influenced by what you see. No, you're open to everything. Everything will come in. You know, all of our holes here in our face are receptors. Whatever you see, you'll dream about it. So don't watch too many horror movies. You will be horrified when you're sleeping, okay? And whatever you hear will come into you, and if whatever music comes into you, you won't be able to stop it. And whatever you breathe gets into you, okay? So you only breathe fresh air, huh? And whatever you eat also gets into you. So you see, we have all these wonderful receptors there. It depends on where you are, what you're open to. Don't open to all the things and think, okay, you can discern. No, you are not that capable of discerning everything. No, the enemy is wiser. The serpent is wiser than you. If you think you're wise, remember, the serpent is wiser than you. He is called in Revelation chapter 12, the deceiver of the whole world. He's been practicing that kunst, that art of deceiving for millennials, for millions, no, I wouldn't say millions, thousands of years. You cannot be wiser than the serpent.
Papa, you are muted.
The technology is telling me time is up. How come that I didn't mute it? Yeah. Okay. I'll make it quick. One more minute. Separate it from sinners and become higher than the heavens. You know, this is the only place that the enemy cannot reach, because it's the highest point in the universe. If you are on this earth, you will be defiled. So where are you? Where are we? Are we sitting with him in the heavenlies? And you know how high it is, right? It's not just the moon, okay? It's higher, the highest point in the universe. That is where God's throne is. That's the place to be in our daily living, in the spirit, with Christ up there in the heavenlies. Then you become untouchable. How about that? You want to be untouchable? No? So, praise the Lord for such a great, wonderful, perfect high priest. No, just jump to verse 28. For the law needs, for the law appoints as high priests men who have witness, like Aaron and all the priests, and like Eli and his sons there. Some of them are terrible. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, right, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Wow, what a wonderful high priest. So, for the first day, we have one chapter finished. Okay, we got 4 days, 4 chapters. You should read it yourself. Amen? Okay, good. Well, thank you for your patience.